BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. And I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but folks, what's going on in this whole matter of LGBTQ plus across this nation today is astounding. And today's program is material that has just been gathered over the last several days during this so-called Pride Month. And when I saw some of these stories that were coming through, and a particular theme with their aim at young people, your young people, your children, your teens, your college-age students, the question popped into my mind, how far are we willing to go to corrupt youth? I'd like to begin, though, our passage from Romans chapter 1 today, just to refresh us what God has said on the issue, where it says, "For the wrath of God," this is starting in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." There we have outlined in Romans chapter 1 an outline of what is taking place in today's society in the United States, and yes, even around the world as it relates to LGBT things. I'm going to share just a few cases in point of some things that have happened just in recent days to, again, respond to that issue, how far are we willing to go to corrupt youth? Not long ago, we told you about this Arthur PBS program of putting in a so-called same-sex wedding to indoctrinate young preschool children and early elementary grade students. Now, from Arthur, we go to My Little Pony, the TV show that has now joined in homosexual activism during this so-called Pride Month. Reading from CBN, the ninth and final season of the animated series My Little Pony on the Discovery Family Channel will feature a lesbian couple who take care of a school-age character named Scootaloo. The episode is entitled The Last Crusade, introduces a same-sex couple, Aunt Holiday and Auntie Lofty, in the middle of Gay Pride Month, which the program's producers call a happy coincidence. It's the latest children's program to target kids with the LGBTQ agenda. Last month, the PBS animated series Arthur featured a same-sex wedding. And the Cartoon Network, popular with children, encouraged its young viewers to celebrate Gay Pride Month during the month of June. The network is also featuring a line of Pride Month merchandise at its website. Activist mommy Elizabeth Johnson pushed back against the inclusion of the lesbian My Little Pony couple on Twitter, posting, quote, "Why must a show about ponies of all things have a same-sex couple? Just insane. Watch what your kids are watching, folks." Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis weighed in too, tweeting out, "It seems more and more companies are jumping on the bandwagon of the war against children to destroy them by drawing them into depravity." From BuzzFeed, they say, according to Comics Beat, the two actually appeared previously in a book, although this will be their first animated appearance. At the time, a writer and producer of the show, Michael Vogel, confirmed on Twitter that they are indeed a couple. Vogel told BuzzFeed that the idea for the ants was a collaboration between himself and the showrunners, Nicole Dubeck and Josh Haber. Saying, Dubeck said, "I think it's fantastic that we can show what truly defines a family is love. That, to me, is the core of My Little Pony. It all started with getting them approved for the book. Nicole and I thought that was a great opportunity to organically introduce an LGBTQ couple in the series. We asked Hasbro, and they approved it," Vogel said. With Josh and Nicole running the final season together, "It was something we all wanted to do, bring out this couple into the final season and make them officially a part of the My Little Pony world." For Vogel, who is gay, it was important for him to show, to reflect the real world. We continue on from Godfather Politics, where it says the series writer, an openly gay man, said that he always forces gay subjects into his work, saying, "It is my first priority of everything I work on." Children, how far are we willing to go to corrupt our youth? We're going next to a story out of the state of Vermont. ChristianHeadlines.com has the story. Vermont will begin covering gender reassignment surgery for children who are on Medicaid under a new rule proposed by the state's Department of Health Access last month. The proposal would change the current rule that bans those under 21 from receiving taxpayer funds for sex change surgery. The proposed rule requires the approval of a child's parents for those under 18, although it also includes a judicial bypass that could allow a minor to obtain gender reassignment surgery over the objection of the parents. About half of all children in Vermont receive insurance through Medicaid, the Burlington Free Press reported. For minors under 18 years of age, documented informed consent of parents, legal custodian, or guardian is also required unless the minor is emancipated by court order, the proposal says. In addition to permission from parents or a judge, children must meet several other requirements, including two written clinical evaluations, the first of which should be from the individual's treating qualified mental health professional, completion of at least 12 months of living in a gender role that's congruent with their gender identity across a range of life experiences and events that may occur throughout this year. Documentation of hormonal therapy. Vermont Medicaid beneficiaries who are diagnosed with and receiving treatments for gender dysphoria, who satisfy all the conditions set forth in this rule and for whom the services for which prior authorization is sought, both medically necessary and developmentally appropriate, are eligible for coverage of the services governed by this rule, the proposal says. The state is accepting public comments through July 17th. They say the comments can be emailed to this email address, ahs.medicaidpolicy@vermont.gov. I'll repeat that, ahs.medicaidpolicy@vermont.gov. One more time, ahs.medicaidpolicy@vermont.gov. So here we are. Taxpayers in Vermont to pay for child's sex change surgery under this new rule. They're taking comments. They seem well-bent on going this direction. How far are we willing to go to corrupt our youth? And this next couple of stories will also bear that out as we see what is taking place in Spokane, Washington. I couldn't believe it when I read the story. The headline, "Pastor Jailed During a Drag Queen Story Hour, SWAT Team Snipers Positioned Atop Library Roof." From ChristianNews.net. A Baptist pastor was arrested, jailed, this will be last Saturday, after refusing to move across the street from the Spokane, Washington Public Library while exercising his free speech against a drag queen story hour. The event had a significant militaristic police presence, including camouflage snipers positioned atop the roof to oversee the large crowd that stood both for and against the men dressed like women reading stories to children. Afsin Yoftin of New Covenant Baptist Church was arrested for obstructing an officer as he contended with police that the South Hill Library is public property and that he should be able to speak adjacent to the facility instead of being required to stand across the street. Video footage posted to social media shows police telling him that if he does not support the event, he needs to stand on the other side of the street, away from the library. Even those defending the drag queens were permitted to be on the side of the library. Well, the pastor then speaks to another officer and again was told to stand across the street. He asserts that the library should be considered public property as the event is solely in one room. This is a public library. The only event that they've reserved is a private room, Yoftin argued. The rest of the library is U.S. property. I have the right to free speech wherever I want to speak. He was soon taken into custody, charged with obstructing the police, or as reports say, trying to enter the non-designated protest area. That's what the pastor was charged with, trying to enter the non-designated protest area. Well, he has since been released, but it is reported, and this is mind-blowing, folks. An estimated 40 police officers were stationed outside the library. 40 officers to ensure that young children could go in to this drag queen story hour. Those who supported the event, approximately 400 in all, stood adjacent to the library property. Those opposed to the drag queen story hour, about 200 concerned residents, were asked by police to stand on the other side of the street. One photo posted to social media shows a man in camouflage standing atop the South Hill Library. The Charles Carroll Society also posted photos. Sergeant Terry Pringiger of the Spokane Police Department told reporters that the police had thought people were going to bring firearms to the library. From looking at online conversations, police expected to see people armed on both sides, which resulted in a strong police presence on Saturday, but no civilians showed up openly carrying guns, the spokesman review states. The police presence was a little ridiculous. They had snipers on the roofs. They wouldn't allow us onto the library, Anna Bohack of 500 Moms Strong told the outlet. A law enforcement dispatcher supervisor through Spokane County 911 confirmed to Christian News Network that those atop the library roof were snipers, most likely with the Spokane Police Department SWAT team as opposed to the county SWAT. Other photos of the event show three drag queens supporters dressed as angels with sheets for wings, appearing to do so to block out the opposition. Some present held signs such as "All hail the queens," "God is love, why do you hate?" and "Oh, look, a guy in a dress reading to kids," with a drawing of Jesus surrounded by children. "If Jesus was around today, he would be on this side," one man who brought his son and daughter to the story hour claimed. His son wore a dress to the event. According to reports, an estimated 50 children attended the event with their parents. 40 police officers, SWAT team, to ensure that young kids can be taken into a drag queen story hour? How far are we willing to go to corrupt our youth? Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has the Bible been confirmed by archaeological discoveries?
In many ways it has, Chris. Many ancient artifacts have been found, and in each case they confirm the general framework given in Scripture. The Bible claims to be a book of true history, and we would expect to find historical evidence and general agreement with it. But we wouldn't expect everything to be found. Much of the Bible took place long ago, and documents would be rare. But with many turns of the archaeologist's spade, we find details that support Scripture. Yes, we can be confident that the Bible is literally true, and even better than that, it's spiritually true. The evidence we find in history enhances our confidence in its spiritual claims. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Music.
You may not realize this, but we have Romans 1 being played out right before our very eyes. And folks, it's happening in community after community, nation after nation, where this is going on. I mean, a drag queen story hour, 40 police officers, a SWAT team in camo on a roof to oversee the crowds assembled to ensure that these little children could go in and be subjected to a drag queen story hour. By the way, at previous drag queen story hour, and the public testimony went on, how a drag queen appeared before the committee saying that they are grooming the next generation. Grooming the next generation. And so the drag queen story hour went on in Spokane, Washington. And we're asking the question today, how far are we willing to go to corrupt our youth? Here, a pastor jailed, 40 police officers, SWAT team, to be sure that children appear before drag queen story hour. Let's now go to the state of Iowa, the heartland of America, as LifeSiteNews.com put out a story last Thursday about a drag show at the Iowa Public Library, features children giving the drag queen dollar bills. A public library in Ames, Iowa, hosted so-called family-friendly entertainment offered by drag performers who accepted cash tips from children in the audience. In the city that is home to Iowa State University, the public library offered music and dance drag performances by amateurs and professionals. Adults and children were in the audience on April 6 to watch gyrations, lip-syncing, and exotic costumes during an evening that included all-age performances that were followed by a teens-only show featuring sparkles, costumes, free snacks, and mingling. According to local reports, more than 240 people attended the fourth such event organized by the library. By the way, do you send your children to the library anymore these days? Children in the audience were seen handing money to the performers in much the same way that strippers and other such performers are rewarded. In September, during the Ames Gay Pride Festival, similar drag performers accepted cash on stage from kids in the audience. According to the Facebook page for the event, drag is for everyone, it said. Grab your best friend, your preschooler or grandmother, your dad or your neighbor, and your neighbor's kids, roommates, bandmates, or that cool kid that sits next to you in math class, and check out the free, all-age-friendly performances by professional and amateur drag performers. The library gained nationwide notoriety last year for hosting a summer camp to teach kids K through 12 the art of cross-dressing and drag performances. The camp was supported by local LGBTQ activists who said it was intended to make transgender children feel safe and to prevent suicide. The story last Thursday from LifeSite News. A drag show. Children given dollar bills to give to the drag queen, just like they will give cash tips in other venues, strip clubs, and so forth. How far are we willing to go to corrupt youth? Alex Newman reports on The New American about California's new sex ed regime, worse than you can imagine. Over 1 in 4 California children ages 12 through 17 now identifies as gender nonconforming, according to a recent study by the University of California, Los Angeles. In other words, more than a fourth of the state's boys do not accept the fact that they are male, and similar numbers of girls refuse to accept being female. This is what this indoctrination education is doing, folks. 1/4 of California children don't know whether they're male or female, or don't identify that way. In early May, the state's Board of Education approved the new health education framework for kindergarten through 12th grade that should shock even the most liberal and progressive parents, from teaching children that there are infinite genders to how-to manuals on sexual perversions so dangerous and obscene they cannot be described here. But there seems to be no moral boundaries for taboos that are being deliberately broken. It's outrageous, folks, what is going on. There was just no stopping. the lesbian, Alex says that the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex agenda is being infused into the entire curriculum from the earliest years. That is despite the fact that the respected American College of Pediatricians, a group of 500 pediatricians that offers a conservative alternative to the much larger American Academy of Pediatricians, has referred to exactly this sort of propaganda being foisted on children as child abuse. In California and beyond, this abuse is now being systematically inflicted upon children by out-of-control politicians, bureaucrats, and sexual deviants, and the consequences are going to be disastrous, experts say. In kindergarten, the health education framework recommends a book entitled Who Are You? The Kid's Guide to Gender Identity. The cover features a boy wearing a dress. Recommended by the state government for children in first grade and kindergarten, the book claims to provide a straightforward introduction to gender for a child age 4+. Its main purpose, to actually convince children that male and female are obsolete and there are potentially infinite genders. It lists a wide array of examples, including trans, genderqueer, non-binary. Folks, think what this is doing to the minds of 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, and so forth. The genders, trans, genderqueer, non-binary, gender fluid, transgender, gender neutral, agender, neutrosis, bigender, third gender, two-spirit, and more. The book also claims, among other absurdities, that grown-ups must make a guess about what gender babies are by looking at their bodies. The book is recommended right after the framework begins its indoctrination of children into gender confusion. One chapter in the health education framework explains to teachers how they ought to teach sexuality to kindergarten children, discuss gender with kindergartners by exploring gender stereotypes and asking open-ended questions such as what are preferred colors, toys, activities for boys and girls, and then challenging stereotypes if presented. The article goes on and on, folks. But it is so graphic. It is so vulgar. We can't even talk about it on the air, and yet it's appearing in the curriculum for children in elementary grades. This next story ought to enrage you. It's some trauma that a dad is facing after he has a child that is seeking to be transgender. And you're going to hear from the story itself that unless he changes his verbiage to his child, who is a girl seeking to be a boy or desiring to be identified as a boy, unless he uses male pronouns for his daughter, he is facing charges of family violence. Family violence for not using male pronouns. The story just came out last Friday by CBN. I'd like to play that for you here at this time.
A struggle over parental rights is underway in Canada, especially when it comes to dealing with children and gender identity. Our Wendy Griffith has details on one case that is spurring protests.
Lynn, give us a brief history on this case of the father and his 14-year-old daughter.
The parents were separated and they had a daughter who was struggling with many and numerous issues. And one day the mother called the father, and she had taken the daughter, who was saying that she was struggling with gender dysphoria, and had taken her to a doctor who referred them to go to Children's Hospital in Vancouver. On the very first visit, they wanted to put her on testosterone. And the mother was concerned and called the father. And they both agreed at that moment, no, let's slow down here, stop the process. And so they stopped that day. However, the doctors continued to talk to the mom and to say, listen, this is what you need to do. She could be suicidal. This could lead to suicide if you don't just help her to transition right away. The father maintained that this is just a 14-year-old girl. He wasn't particularly religious, just a good dad, thinking that 14 is a little too young to make the kind of decision that will land you up having, you know, a facial beard for the rest of your life, because she could change her mind. We know 82 to 92% of all children who struggle with gender dysphoria can change their mind. And so he said, I'm not in agreement. Let's not do this. Well, the mother was in agreement. And so it proceeded to a court case. The court now, with neither mother nor father willing to actually give approval. The court has ordered that the daughter will be given the hormones that she would like to take. It got even worse, Wendy, because the court told the father that if you do not refer to her in her chosen pronouns, which are now he and him, and if you do not refer to your daughter in the new name that she has chosen, then you are subject to being charged with family violence.
Tell us about the planned protest in Vancouver this weekend.
Well, the protest came about because the judge said even more damaging things to this father. The judge then said that if you speak about this privately or publicly, you are subject to arrest without warrant. No warrant. You are not to speak, sir, about this situation in your family. Canada will never know, and you will not talk about this, or you will be subject to warrant without arrest.
Laura Lynn, what's next in this case?
Well, they're still going back to court. They have to appeal it. It's very alarming because this precious young girl, she is within about 25 days of sterility for the rest of her life. Because a court has ordered that parents have no say, that there's no wisdom, there's no holding back. This girl decides she wants to be a boy, and now she can be a boy, and it doesn't matter what anybody says.
Friends, this is outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. A 14-year-old girl who wants to identify as a boy, the dad is in opposition to this. And unless he will change the pronouns that he uses for his child, he should use the pronouns of he and him for his daughter. And unless he changes, he can be charged with family violence. Not only that, but the judge has forbidden him to speak about this. He cannot speak about it publicly. He cannot speak about it privately. Just a private conversation with somebody else. With his spouse, with anybody, or he's subject to arrest without a warrant. I'm going to ask that question again. I asked at the start of the program, how far are we willing to go to corrupt our youth? Oh, and it's happening in other settings, because in community after community, the ban on so-called conversion therapy, it just happened now in Shorewood, Wisconsin. That would be a suburb of the Milwaukee area. Conversion therapy now banned in Shorewood, Wisconsin, as it was in Milwaukee and other locations, and it's going like a tidal wave across this nation. When a child will go to a counselor and says, you know, I have these unwanted same-sex attractions and I need help with this, and to give that counsel, you'd be violating, or you go to a paid professional counselor who would talk about gender dysphoria or deal with those same sex unwanted attractions. And now such is banned. It's happening all over this nation, and just saw the spotlight here that just taking effect in Shorewood, Wisconsin. And folks, it's not stopping there. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to share with you further on these very issues here on Crosstalk. How far are we willing to go to corrupt the youth? Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trowel. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and when you consider some of the issues we've talked about here just in this last half hour, first Arthur, now it's My Little Pony, joining in the gay activism during Pride Month. Then we also have the situation going on with the state of Vermont looking at rule changes now for children's sex change surgery to be paid for with your tax dollars. We have the pastor jailed during the Drag Queen Story Hour, 40 officers, SWAT team members poised on roofs in order to ensure that the Drag Queen Story Hour goes on in Washington. And then we have in Iowa, we have the drag show at the Iowa Public Library with kids giving drag queens dollar bills for their performances. Here we have the new sex ed going on in California with things that we cannot even talk about on the air. We went to Canada where we see a dad who was facing trauma after being told that you must accept the new pronouns for your daughter using the he and him male pronouns or facing family violence charges. Further, you cannot talk about this publicly or privately or you're subject to arrest without a warrant. We see the passing of conversion therapy bans that are taking place across this nation. Coming out also from CBN this week, now HBO targeting teens and preteens with a new program called Euphoria, which premiered on June 16th, introducing them to content that may be even more pornographic and obscene than what they said was on Game of Thrones. Filled with graphic nudity, violence, drug use among young people so extreme that one star quit in the mid-shoot of the production. But there's graphic transgender sex and sexual violence that involves choking. The Parents Television Council warning parents to beware, pointing out that the ongoing trend of targeting young people with explicit material on multiple media outlets. Over to Scotland, you can find it just doing an internet search. But a student booted from class for saying that there are only two genders. The student asked the teacher, why was I kicked out of class? And the teacher told him on video, you aren't being inclusive. I know what the authority thinks and point of view. It's very clear that we make no discrimination on the grounds. I'm sorry what you choose to make an issue about a point that's contrary to policy. But the student says, I think it's silly to have anything other than two genders. It's not scientific whatsoever. I stated something that I believe in, and you kicked me out of class. I wasn't making a discrimination. I was simply saying there are only two genders, male and female. Anything else is a personal identification. The teacher fired back, telling the student to keep that opinion to your own house and not in this school. I am stating what is national school authority policy, he said. This is an inclusive school. I'm more than one gender in this country. That is my opinion, and that is an opinion which is acceptable in the school. I'm afraid that yours, which you are saying, that there is no such thing as anyone other than male or female, is not inclusive. You're choosing to make this an issue. You're making bad choices. And then, friends, as we have other matters that are going on all across this nation, let me just mention these things because youth indeed are being impacted by these as well. Couldn't believe the story coming forth from ABC News with this Pride Month. The historic and popular Gay Street and Christopher Street in the West Village neighborhood of Manhattan was renamed Acceptance Street Monday morning. The all-inclusive street sign installation was championed by the New York City Commission on Human Rights and was underwritten by MasterCard. By MasterCard. It's now called Acceptance Street. And when you look at the street signs for this street, I have a copy right before me here. The installation is staying up during Pride Month, but instead of a single street sign announcing the street, you have multiple street signs in the color of the rainbow, all going down the pole, calling it Gay Street, Lesbian Street, Bisexual Street, Trans Street, Queer Street, Intersex Street, asexual street, non-binary street, pansexual street, two-spirit street, and plus street. And again, commissioned with MasterCard. With New Yorkers as a host for World Pride this year, organizers and underwriters told ABC that they are actively working to understand how they can make the installation a permanent symbol for the community. And as we talk about MasterCard involvement with that, the story that is also coupled with that, this one is from WND.com. In addition to all the special accommodations already granted transgenders, here's a new one. In some jurisdictions, they can select bathrooms and showers according to their gender preference, choose the sex on their birth certificate, and force employers to let them dress as they wish on the job. Now, MasterCard says it will allow transgenders to choose their preferred name on their credit card. MasterCard's announcement said it is intended to ease a major pain point for the transgender and non-binary community. For many in the LGBTQIA+ community, the name on the credit card, debit, or prepaid card does not reflect their true identity. As a result, for the transgender and non-binary communities in particular, the card in their pocket can serve as a source of sensitivity, misrepresenting their true identity when shopping and going about daily life, the company statement said. We're working with partners to create a product as well as a sensitive and private process free of personal questions that will allow for true names, not dead names, to appear on cards without the requirement of a legal name change, the company said. Dead names is what the transgender community calls names given at birth. The company already is discussing with banks how the idea can be made to work. What we're introducing is a card that represents an individual as to who they really are, said Raj Shishardi, president of U.S. issuers at MasterCard. This is something that should be accessible to everyone in the way they want it, and there shouldn't be any pain in that. Unbelievable. And I just want to share this, too. By the way, if you're attracted to somebody of the opposite sex, and yet there is a transgender who is now claiming to be that sex, and if you don't date them, you are said now to be dehumanizing them. Dehumanizing them. If you're a male attracted to women, and yet you don't want to date somebody who is a biological female claiming to be male, or vice versa, I mean, it's just outrageous. It's dehumanizing. I want to let you know where this is going as well. Yet another story that appeared from CBN. California Assemblyman Evan Lowe and three dozen other lawmakers are pushing a resolution in the State Assembly Judiciary Committee that's aimed at telling religious leaders in California what they should preach from their pulpits. The California Family Council reports that Assembly Concurrent Resolution 99, it's ACR 99, again, this is in the state of California, calls on counselors, pastors, religious workers, educators, and institutions with great moral influence to stop perpetuating the idea that something is wrong with LGBT identities or sexual behavior. ACR 99 also condemns attempts to change unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion as unethical, harmful, and leading to high rates of suicide. Two formerly gay individuals, Pastors Ken Williams and Elizabeth Warning, argue against the resolution, calling it discriminatory against people like themselves who overcame suicidal thoughts by following their faith away from LGBT identities. But folks, I've got from the California legislative website this resolution, this assembly concurrent resolution that's introduced on civil rights, so-called, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people. The measure would call upon all Californians to embrace the individual and social benefits of family and community acceptance upon religious leaders with conviction to counsel on LGBT matters from a place of love, compassion, and knowledge of the psychological and other harms of conversion therapy and on the people of California and on the institutions of California with great moral influence to model equitable treatments of all people of the state. Whereas the California State Legislature has found that being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender is not a disease, disorder, illness, deficiency, or shortcoming. Whereas major professional associations of mental and physical health recognize that being LGBT is part of natural variations that occur in sexual orientation and gender identity and recommend responsive services that foster self-acceptance and skills to cope with social stigma and discrimination. And let me say before I continue, it is not natural. We read from Romans 1 that says it. They gave up the natural use. Whereas practices or therapies that attempt to create a change in a person's sexual orientation or gender identity are often referred to as conversion therapy. And whereas some family caregivers and communities promote conversion therapy when a person is known to thought to be LGBT. And whereas California law recognizes that performing conversion therapy in young persons is ineffective, unethical, and harmful. And it's got several other whereases here. Let me look at the resolved. Resolved by the Assembly of the State of California, the Senate therefore concurring that the legislature calls upon all Californians to embrace the individual and social benefits of family and community acceptance, and be it further resolved that the legislature calls upon religious leaders with conviction to counsel on LGBT matters from a place of love, compassion, and knowledge of the psychological and other harms of conversion therapy, and be it further resolved that in addressing the stigma often associated with persons who identify as LGBT, we call on the people of California, especially its counselors, pastors, religious workers, educators, and legislators, and the institutions of California with great moral influence, especially its churches, universities, colleges, and other schools, counseling centers, activist groups, and other religious centers to model equitable treatment of all people of the state, and be it further resolved that the chief clerk of the assembly transmit copies to the author for appropriate distribution. How far are we willing to go to corrupt youth? And now, pastors, you don't preach on these things. You don't preach from Romans 1. You don't preach, thus saith the Lord. You don't preach from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'd like to open our phone lines to get your reaction today. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Earlier, we told you about Wisconsin flying the pride flag. Guess what? Michigan is now following suit. Michigan is now flying the pride flag on their state building for the first time, reports AP News. Governor Gretchen Whitmer ordered this starting this past Saturday. Two of the iconic rainbow flags flying in the George Romney building to help celebrate June as Pride Month in Michigan. If you'd like to contact the Michigan governor, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, the number is 517-373-3400, 517-373-3400, or you may email the governor through the state's website at michigan.gov. Let's go to Bayside. We have Roy calling. Roy, you're on the air.
Aren't there groups like Martin Moyer's Christian Action Network, which are actually getting legal injunctions implemented against entire school districts to prevent them from promoting the gay agenda? I don't know, based on like maybe it might be giving access, it might be giving pedophiles access to little kids or whatever they're using. Have you heard of that?
Well, I've heard of that group, but they're usually involved in Islamic issues. I haven't seen them so much involved in this issue. I may be wrong there, Roy. But there are groups, and I know, like in our state, Wisconsin Family Council, I mean, they have a petition drive going against the pride flag. Other legal groups, Liberty Council, is doing inquiry into this Madison teacher who did his coming out as a transgender before all the grades and classes. But
yeah,
it's like it's on a roller coaster that is traveling, 100 miles an hour down the track. We'll be back in a minute. Roy, we're up against a break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Do you want to fly? Probably not. I quit flying years ago. Just talked to a friend on the phone a while ago. He's been sitting in an airport for over 24 hours waiting on his continued canceled flights. There's a lot of reasons people quit flying. But if you do want to fly, well, now after October of 2020, you're going to have the new national ID card, the real ID Act. And guess what? They're saying eventually they're going to tie your ability to pick up your pharmaceutical drugs, get a gun. Many other things could be added to, well, the requirement of having a real ID. But wait, it gets better. Now the World Bank, in conjunction with other UN global organizations and Agenda 2030, is pushing for a universal ID. In fact, America's Real ID Act is part of the goals being fulfilled as a part of Agenda 21, which is the identification of everyone in the world, a universal ID card. Now, wait a minute. Does the Bible speak to that? Indeed, it does. No one can buy or sell unless they have the mark. Is the stage being set? I believe it is.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Going right back to the phone lines, we have Terry calling in from Wisconsin. Terry, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to, you know, sympathize with all the viewers out there for the simple fact that we're not defeated here, even though we're hearing all this news, that God is going to win this battle and that we cannot lay down and roll over and let these judges and obviously the police officers and the snipers and everyone else tell us that we can't stand for what we know is right. And Jesus has given us those laws and those rules. And now is the time not to cower and hide and to pretend this isn't happening. Now is the time to speak out for our kids and for our Lord.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your thoughts. Joseph in Sussex, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, thank you for the great work you do keeping us informed of these things. In regards to the corruption of our children, I want to offer an action point or a solution that's very accessible. For the last 15 years, I've had the opportunity of going into public schools and teaching an after-school club wherein we present the gospel, the Bible, biblical history, creation science, etc. And the school welcomes us, and they offer us classroom and anything else that they offer any other after-school club. And this is by mandate of the Supreme Court in 2012. Mm-hmm. And this is very locally accessible through, if you don't mind, I would mention the organization.
Yeah, you're talking about the Good News Clubs through Child Evangelism Fellowship.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
All we need is volunteers.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Joseph. And that was a Supreme Court case won by Liberty Counsel. And by all means, you can just do a search. We have people all over the country on Good News Clubs and be appointed to Child Evangelism Fellowship for more details. Thank you, Joseph.
You're welcome.
Courtney in Miami, Florida, you're on the air.
God bless you and God bless all you saints. You know, all this LGBT and all that mess. Excuse me, but I get mad when I hear this mess because this is what Satan wanting to take our kids to hell. That's exactly what it is. Fallen angels wanting to possess the minds of the kids. When you read in your Bible, in their heart, the Bible is talking about the mind of man. And we got to do one thing, saints. We got to pray, we got to protect our kids, and we got to remember one thing. Satan is defeated. He's the defeated foe, and our kids were just in the last days. Do you think, look at the hurricanes and the floods and the things that we're having now. God is trying to warn. Protect your kids, saints. This makes me mad when I hear this. I really get mad at it because he's going, trying to take their souls to hell. This ain't no playtime. Pray and watch your kids and read that Bible to them a little bit each day. Let them know you are a boy. You are a girl. God don't make no mistakes when he put you into this world. I'm hurt.
Yeah.
I'm really hurt. God bless you all now.
Thank you, Courtney. Let's go to Mark calling from Newark, Ohio. Mark, you're on the air. Hello, Mark. Okay, let's then go to Kevin in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Kevin, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, a lot of people that feel helpless against this in the Christian community don't have to feel helpless at all. That last gentleman just explained it. It's all remedied through prayer. Prayer is so powerful it just shuts it down because what it is, it's demonic aggression that's working through the administrations and stuff. And the Catholic structure even dealt with this through exorcisms and stuff years ago. Ouija boards and this stuff was identified with this, and this is very simply remedied. And if all the Christians out there hear this, this is stopped through prayer, even at government and legislative levels. The dealing Canada is parallel to the legalization of marijuana up there. It is all parallel to demonic aggression, and it is simply stopped through prayer.
Prayer is so absent, Kevin, and we need to get back to it. Thank you for it. And folks, when I talk about prayer, I'm not talking about the brief prayer you give before mealtime, meaningful time in prayer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians 6 talks about the offensive weapons we have. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with supplication. Indeed, powerful tools, and we just neglect them. We use prayer as a spare tire. You know, you bring it out in times of emergency. We need to get back to prayer. Tina is calling from, we've got Leroy next in Atlanta. You're on the air.
Yeah, a couple of things, Jim. I've heard here locally someone say that conversion therapy is not medical science. To that, I say this, but transgender surgery is. I mean, either you can change or you can't.
Yeah, yeah. Good point, Leroy.
And, and as far as using snipers to protect drag queens that are reading to children, I'm pretty sure there's a better use for those resources than that. With guns or anything like that.
Totally agree. Thank you, Leroy. Tina, in Friendship, Wisconsin, you're on the air. Hello, Tina. Tina, you're on the air. Please go ahead.
Hi. Another problem I see with reading stories like that to children is, you know, when I was young like that, I just hung around the girls, and the boys kind of just hung around the boys, and I thought my friends were, you know, better than sliced bread, and that could have totally confused me and messed me up, thinking that I was in love with my girlfriend.
You know, and that's what it's doing, Tina. It is messing up young kids, and they're questioning and wondering if they might even be transgender, and it's corrupting their minds. Thank you, Tina. I'm going to go quickly because we're running low on time. Wayne in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your work that you do there, and appreciate the subject you're talking about today. But my question would be, you know, is how far they will grow to corrupt their kids, is how far us Christians will go to try to protect them. You know, what are we willing to give up? Like the credit card company, you know, and are we willing to do away with some of that stuff and protest against them and not be with them? Are we willing to do all that, try to protect our kids?
Thank you, Wayne. And finally, Linda, very quickly, you're on the air.
My argument would be is that when you have gay couples, basically the female gender has to have a butch partner, and in the male gender, they have to have the dress-up makeup partner. And my question would be to the whole gay population would be, if you so much want to be with a man, why do you two need a male figure in one of them and a female figure in the other? It makes no sense.
Okay, thank you for raising that issue. We're out of time. Thank you for your calls. But folks, again, there is hope, there is love, there's forgiveness, there's freedom in Jesus Christ. His word says, such were some of you. There is cleansing available.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.